This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at weightwatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
Hey, Nathan, nice to see you back, my man.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, we got the OG team back for 1 week because you're in Colorado visiting your daughter, right?
She's about to graduate CU Boulder with a million different classes under her belt. She did really well. I'm very proud of her. Sweetheart, if you're listening, I love you, but she's not listening. I can't do that.
Well, nice of you to say, Nathan.
Yeah.
So today's podcast, we got some really fun topics I want to discuss. First and foremost, we're going to talk about the top 10 fastest selling used cars. And it's a surprise because I wouldn't have guessed any of these cars on this list because most of these cars are actually much hated or have been much hated. And yet somehow they're selling. So we'll start with that.
Okay.
Then, my man, I want to talk about some, let's call it lies that people are spreading on the internet.
I always said your hair was real.
Yeah, okay. Well, no, you never said it was real.
That was the lie. Okay, I got to switch. I switched to my head.
So, luckily, I still have my hair, thank God.
Yes, she does.
I'm losing everything else, but
yeah, I'm here.
But I have the hair. And then at the end of this, I want to talk about your experiences in California.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, I want to kind of talk about car culture there and what you've learned being in Cali.
It's crazy.
Yeah, we really miss you here, but I'd love to hear, what it's like in California. So, shall we get right into it? Talk about the top 10 best-selling used cars. Now, this list comes to us from our friends at IC Cars, which is, a company that takes and aggregates data from all the sales data, and that's how they come to this.
And we've been using their information for years.
Yeah, and I think this is especially interesting because it's recent, and so it reflects what's happening with gas prices. As of this recording, gas prices have jumped up again because now crude oil prices are at an all-time high.
Right.
I went to the gas station and almost passed out, but you're not. You're loving these prices compared to California.
I come out here and it's just like, oh, I forgot how cheap it is here, especially because we run 85 octane, which means it's even lower. We don't have 85 octane in Southern California.
So I paid yesterday when we bought we bought a Range Rover. Of course you bought a Range Rover.
I was there for that.
Yeah, you helped. If you want to see that video, head on over to alltfl.com.
Right.
But we paid, because the guy sold to us with no gas, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
But we paid, I want to say it was for the mid-grade, 87. It was like
$85 to fill it up.
Yeah, and it was like $4.59 or something a gallon, which is pretty high, or $4.69 a gallon.
That's so good.
Yeah, what would you pay in California?
Probably close to $6 for the mid-grade. But once again, the mid-grade is the low grade in California. So maybe $5.50 to $6 a gallon, depending on where you go.
Yeah,
Costco has the cheapest gas right now.
Yeah, Costco, Sam's Club.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's this – oh, by the way, get this. I was at the – Sam's Club warehouse yesterday.
Yeah.
And I saw one of those stickers with Trump's finger pointing to the gas. And
oh,
I did this. Remember when they had
with Biden and everything else.
Now somebody's putting up the Trump.
I hate politicians altogether, so I don't care who's pointing. It's just, ugh. All right. So it's the typical thing. But
There's this confluence now of two things happening, right?
Yeah.
Prices and inflation are through the roof. And so used car prices are sky high.
They are.
We have a former TFL employee, Brendan, who goes to the auction on a regular basis. And I was just Tommy was just talking to him. And he went to the Mannheim auction, and he said that the auction prices for used cars are now at the retail level. Usually, obviously, they're like 5 to 10% below retail.
Yeah.
So that dealers can mark them up and make money.
These are for newer used cars.
Yeah. And so the prices for used cars are high, obviously, because people can't afford new cars. So the used car market follows a new car market.
Right. Yeah. Older used cars, that's a different thing. And we'll talk about that a little bit when we talk about California, because it's kind of interesting what's happening there.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, so let's start with the number 10 most rapidly selling used car, and that is the Hyundai Elantra N. I would have never guessed.
The Elantra N, really?
Average days on the market is 38.3.
That is a great car, by the
way. It's a cool car,
yeah. I absolutely love it. And you can get it with manual transmission.
Are you still selling the Elantra N?
As far as I know, yeah.
Yeah, so it kind of takes the mantle of the Golf GTI.
Yeah, it goes directly against the Honda Civic Si.
Yeah.
And it puts out more power. It's great on the track. A little polarizing to look at. Some people do not like the looks. I've warmed up to it a little bit. But driving it, it's fantastic.
Yeah, I think that's almost a better used car than a new car in some ways, because you don't have to take the hit on the depreciation. But
yeah, but then some idiot kid slammed it and then took it around a corner and balled the tires out and everything else. And, sup, bro? Totally slammed it and got the stance.
You know what I've been dying for? I've been to Japan a lot now, and so I've gotten into JDM cars. And there, the Godzilla is king, the GTR. I've been hoping and longing for those early 2012, 2010 GTRs to come down. But they're not. They're not coming down. They're still, at around 60,000 to 80,000. And you can't find one that's been untouched. You just can't. Every single one of those has been stanced or,
super large pipe. Triple K turbos inside and whatever.
Yeah. Or they've messed with the programming, of course, which will shorten the life of the car. So finding an original early GTR is almost impossible. And if you do, they carry a high premium. So keep that in mind, all you guys who decide that, whatever it is, 600 horsepower isn't enough, and so you want to rechip it. It's great for you, but it's bad for your value in the long run.
Yeah, yeah.
Originality is what people want.
In many cases, they really do want a car that is, the term unmolested, some people don't like to hear. So.
I avoided that on purpose.
Yeah, but I just did it. So
it's a trigger word, Nathan. It is, as the youngsters would say.
Yes, but I just acknowledged that.
Cole, were you triggered by that? Were you triggered?
He's about to throw something. Anyway, let's continue, though.
He says no. All right, number nine, Tesla Model Y. Which makes sense because it's the best-selling electric car in the world.
Yeah, it's one of the top-selling cars in the world.
Yeah, so 34.6 days to sell one of these bad boys.
And I just recently had an epiphany driving one the other day at TFL of all places, because I have never been in one that did the level 2. Yeah, we just did that video.
Yeah, if you want to see Nathan's first experience with FSD supervised, head on over, like I said, to all TFL.
How many times did you tell me not to grab the steering wheel?
It was funny, yeah, because every time I looked over, you were holding onto the steering wheel, and I was like,
"Dude, let go."
Well, the problem with that is it's weird because you don't know where to put your hands. Where do you put your hands? You're so used to having on the steering wheel, then you're like, "I don't know where to put them," so I put them on my lap, and that feels really weird.
Now, I'm a coffee drinker, so I'd probably have just the cup sitting in my hand or whatever. Of course, if something horrible happened, that would be bad, but. It was weird, it's worth watching the video because genuinely I was shocked and surprised, mostly in a positive way, but if you watch, you'll understand my point, because I've never done that in a Tesla, and honestly speaking, I'm beginning to understand why certain car companies are doing what they're doing now, but I'm going to leave it at that.
Do you think that FSD or versions of it is the future? You think this is where the industry is going?
Yeah, no doubt. And it's not for the people who like to drive. It's the people who have to drive.
Yeah, so people who treat cars like an appliance, basically.
Exactly, exactly. And that part I don't mind. I don't mind at all if it's for somebody who's, it's a chore and they're not very good drivers or whatever, by popping in, hitting a button, and taking off. Those cars can drive pretty good by comparison to where somebody's not paying attention when they're switching lanes or they're on their phone or whatever or driving like crap. So I think that in itself is a good thing. The other side of it, of course, is that I don't want it to be a mandatory thing that you have to use in cars. So
yeah,
hopefully
let people
there's
choose.
Going to be balance.
I'm a big freedom to choose.
Yes, freedom of choice when it comes to cars.
All you politicians out there, don't force people to go electric or go full self-driving. I know that the temptation is there to legislate this stuff, but I think at some point people will figure out what's best for them and let them figure it out. The one thing I will tell you, Nathan, and I sincerely believe this, I think computers are better at driving than humans, not initially, but now they are. For instance, you can't see behind you. You have no eyes in the back of your head, whereas that Tesla can, or any autonomous car. Computers don't get tired. They don't get angry. They don't get drunk.
All
they
these,
don't.
Yes, but computers can fail.
Yeah, but humans fail a lot too.
No. My wife is absolutely impervious from failure.
Of course, except their wives.
Yes,
yeah.
Our wives are perfect when it comes to driving.
All right, yeah. Number eight on the list is the Audi Q5 Sportback, 34.2 days.
Is that even a... I haven't seen one of those on the street. Have you seen many of those?
No, it's like the utility vehicle without the utility.
Yeah, but in addition, I just don't see too many of them. I cannot remember the last time I've seen a Q5 Sportback.
All right, the next one is a hot take. Mm-hmm. And people, I was just thinking about this morning in the shower of all places. So the next one, number 7 on the list, is a Tesla Cybertruck at 33.3 days. Now, the Tesla Cybertruck has become the poster child for everything that is wrong with Tesla, everything that is wrong with technology, everything that is wrong with Musk. And it's become, I think it's fair to say, it's the most hated truck / car of the last, 10 years. Would you say that's fair?
I would say the last 50 years.
Okay.
I can't think of anything that's Aztec. More polarizing. Even the Aztec was kind of a joke. And okay. It was kind of a laughable joke. People were violently opposed to this truck.
What was the Ford that looked like it was sucking the lemon?
The Ford that sucked the lemon?
Yeah, it was named after the kid, Ford's kid. I can't think of it right now.
Oh, wait. Well, Edsel was...
Edsel. Yes. That was also hated.
That was hated, but that was just hated because it was unattractive. I don't think it was really because of business choices and political things.
So my hot take on this is I really liked our Cybertruck. Actually...
Yeah, you were pretty hip to it.
I'll tell you why I liked it. Okay. First and foremost, I love the tan out cover, which turned into something that is virtually 90% of the time useless, which is the bed.
When it worked.
Fair, right? We had one of the early ones, so obviously.
All right, I'll give him a cut caveat.
But it made it like, I remember I had to go pick up my friend Steve at the airport, and it was raining, and I just threw all his luggage in the back, and him and his wife, and it stayed perfectly dry. I just liked the tan-out cover. I thought it was nice to incorporate that. And look, I love truck beds, but most of the time they're empty. Mm-hmm. And if you ever need them to actually carry stuff that you don't want stolen, they're useless for that, even if you put a topper on it, because nothing's easier to bust open than a topper. Mm-hmm. So this was actually, I thought, a solution that made the utility part of the truck much more useful for many people. So I love that. But beyond that, the technology that it brought or brings that hasn't been around, people always get in arguments, but it was the first vehicle to have completely steer-by-wire, right, where the ratio changed. And actually, the changing ratio, once you get used to it, was really nice, because what happens is when you're in a tight parking situation with the variable steering and with four-wheel steer, it made the truck much more maneuverable. You were just in the Quartermaster, Ineos.
Yeah, oh, that's the Quartermaster.
It's the exact opposite.
Yeah, well, actually, and they just recently improved the steering.
Yeah.
And it is better, but still, it's like turning a battleship inside of a small pond. I would push against you on one thing. The Cybertruck with the four-wheel steering and everything else is perhaps the first vehicle with the...
Steer by wire. There was an Infiniti that had it.
The Infiniti was the first of the game with that, yeah.
But no, so that's not actually true. The Infiniti actually had a physical connection between the wheel and the steering rack. And what would happen with the Infiniti is that would disconnect, but it was like a secondary backup. So
really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So there was actually a rod.
A steering rod, right. As opposed to just wires.
Yeah, whereas there is no redundancy in the Cybertruck. Mm. And then the other thing that they did right with the Cybertruck, and Cole was just playing the video where we took it to Moab, was it had two rear lockers. Everybody else, including Rivian, they go with virtual lockers. Mm-hmm. And I have found that off-road virtual lockers are not good, whereas real lockers are really good. And it also had the air suspension, which gave it up to, get this, if I recall, and it's like extract mode, it was 16 inches of ground clearance. Take that, Subaru, with your puny 10 inches of ground clearance.
Okay. I wouldn't even throw Subaru under the bus on this one. I would Jeep or someone else.
I just picked a brand that has a lot of...
Yeah, they do actually. Yeah. Their ground clearance is decent for across the board. But, okay. So I'm not going to go into the tirades that I have about the Cybertruck.
No, you should. Go into the... I think you should. Go for it.
A couple basic things here is that...
It hurt you.
Yeah, it's actually sliced me more than once.
It did slice you, yeah.
I think the quality of the vehicle itself, the actual...
this is important. It sliced you.
No, it actually cut into me, almost needing stitches.
Like one of those bologna slicers.
Yeah. The front end of it is made to hurt people. And
you just rushed up against it.
Yeah, when we were doing a broadcast at the time, and all of a sudden, I think it was the videographer's like, bro, you're bleeding.
You were alive in the studio. So and all of a sudden, like...
Bleeding like a stuffed pig, it's like on camera.
This is not a small thing.
No, it's not.
I agree.
And the other thing is that, this is Tesla. Tesla now knows how to build cars pretty quickly, and their build quality has improved, but not on the Cybertruck, even the later models. And I was recently in a later model. the build quality sucks. I'm sorry, but it does. There's many things that go wrong just with minor components. In addition to that, they did not deliver on the price. Not even close.
Yeah, but they weren't the only ones.
No.
Ford did the same thing.
You know, once again, it's not a what about. It's a direct thing towards them. Because, yes, there are many other people who are guilty. And the final component of it is that I don't think it worked well as a pickup truck.
Okay.
Bottom line. And you buy it as a pickup truck? No, you buy it as a Tesla fan who needs a little bit of a pickup. That's my perspective. So saying it's a competitive pickup, and at the end of the day, it's really not in terms of the things it can do, I think that's a proper way.
I mean, it towed 10,000. It just didn't do it very far.
No. And actually towing, they've proven that towing with it, not a great idea. So there's many things with it that are being improved or have been improved. And given what they've done, I'd say some of it's really impressive. I really like the ride quality of it and the steering. I hated the fact that how you had to shift it to go back and forth and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, that's the Model Y now. They all have it that way.
I don't like that.
I agree.
Me no like. But once again, this is not a rant about this vehicle. It's too easy for me to do it.
You can rant.
But I'm going back to what we're doing here.
Yeah.
The fact that it is considered popular as a used vehicle is surprising to me considering how many they have not sold.
So we have, you know, one day Mr. Musk woke up and decided that SpaceX wasn't buying enough of the Cybertrucks apparently, and so he lowered the price to $60,000.
Yeah.
And we've got one of those on order.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. Yeah.
We're doing it again?
Well,
are you going to wrap it in another American flag? No, a Colorado flag this time.
No, you know, I like it wrapped in white. I think they look really good
in white. Holy cow.
It looks like a giant refrigerator. I kind of am digging that look.
There you go, bro. That's
But great. I have to say, Nathan, it was one of my favorite vehicles that we've ever owned. The thing that really stung was that we lost $28,000 on it in 6 months. We bought it for 100 and we sold it 6 months later for 70.
Well, this is TFL, like
we buy high and sell low.
Yeah. It's not good. And that's especially true right now with the fact that used cars are just ridiculously expensive. But we're gonna get into that in a minute. So what's next on the list?
By the way, did you know I was offered for some mysterious reason the signature edition of the Model S? I just got this email, and they're only building 250 of them. I've always wanted to be offered something like
right,
like I've been listening to this podcast,
like,
there you go, like where the Ferrari dealer, like the F80, apparently, like the way that the Ferrari offers this is, I heard this on a podcast. The way they offer you the money is they'll actually bring you to the dealership and they'll give you a box, you know, F80, right? And the thing, okay, here's what you have to keep in mind: when you get up to the level of being offered a car. Or let's say even a Rolex watch, if you got the right kind of Rolex, what they're giving you is money. Because you could take that car and potentially flip it the next day, which probably they wouldn't like, but you could with an F80, right? Those are a million or something, I don't know.
Oh, easily.
But they'll probably, or more.
I would say way more.
But you could probably sell it the next day for $3
million. Oh, yeah. There's someone else who's going to want it who's not on that list.
Or like there's certain Rolexes you can do that with, an AP.
I do it all the time.
Right? You do that? Okay, yeah, all right. So anyway, so the way I guess the F80 is offered to you is they call you into the dealership and they present you with a box.
Okay.
Like this big box, right? And it's beautifully wrapped in whatever color. They think, and you unwrap it, and you get the key to the car.
Interesting.
And then you go and configure it, and then they build it for you.
I would like to know how.
I would love that experience. Okay, I'm sorry, but that would be such a cool.
It
experience.
Would be a really cool James Bondy type moment where it's just like I am doing
you unwrap
something.
Unwrap this box. You don't know what's in it, and then there's this F80 key in there. Holy
that would
cow.
Be super cool. Yeah. It would be super super cool. But the other side of that is. Ferrari, they don't talk to us. So we're more likely to get...
Well, and the other side is I couldn't afford it. We couldn't afford it.
Oh, we just sell the business and then...
And all the cars and we still couldn't afford it.
Yeah, sell some organs. We might be all right. But
I guess it'd be like Matt Armstrong on YouTube where you buy a crashed one and rebuild it. But we're not good at that either.
So. Yeah, no, we don't.
It's also bad. All right, number six on our list is the Lexus. Anyway, I got the Signature Edition offered to us.
Oh, yeah.
Only $250. But it's $160,000 basically for a plaid that is, except for the carbon ceramic wheels and appearance package.
It's probably got some badging too.
No, it does. It's a special color. It's got badging. It's got, you know, what else does it have? Oh, it's got unlimited supercharging, premium connectivity, full self-driving for life. That kind of ruby red color that the first edition was.
Full self-driving for life and full charging for life.
Yeah.
So in essence, you could drive around the corner, around the country, basically doing laps for the rest of your life in this thing, or as long as the battery would last, I'd imagine.
But a Plaid is like 120. And the reason they're doing these is because the car is being discontinued, right?
Yeah, the S is going away.
Yeah, so this is, they did a signature edition for the first ones. Mm-hmm. And those carry like a $1,000 premium, which isn't a lot. But I was thinking to myself, part of the appeal is that this is something that will go up in value. Do you think that they're only building 250? Do you think that a Tesla Model S Plaid, the last signature edition, will go up in value from 160?
It's questionable at best.
And if it does, when will that happen? And will it brick itself in 20 years?
It's so hard to predict with electric cars. With an internal combustion car, even a hybrid, there are components that you can replace relatively easily and keep it going and whatever. So if you want to trade its value higher 20 years from now, there's a possibility.
I think there's one company that's keeping the Roadsters on the road.
Yeah, they're in Oregon or something.
Yeah, otherwise, they just what happens is the computer, the chipset is too slow, the batteries are too old, and it becomes a piece of art.
It's a heavy paperweight.
Yeah, eventually. All right, number six is the Lexus ES 300H, 33.1 days on the market. That's a hybrid, Nathan. So you're seeing a theme here, electric cars, sports cars, and hybrids.
Yeah, and the 300H, if I recall, had a lot of components that came out of the Camry, and perfectly good car.
Yeah.
Not the most exciting Lexus built, but it's one of those really smart cars to buy for those people who want the Lexus branding, want the Toyota reliability, and at the end of the day, don't mind the fact they're driving something that's a little bit slower than some of the other Lexuses that are out there.
But I think Lexus, with its reputation for luxury, reliability, longevity,
you can't go wrong with that car.
Exactly. You're not going to get that car home and then have another $10,000 worth of repairs, like maybe on that Range Rover Sport that we bought.
Yeah, I am concerned about that. I love that thing though.
All right, number five, the Lucid Air, another car that doesn't really sell well on the new car market, but that's because these things depreciate so much.
They've had some reliability issues out of the earlier
software
ones.
Yeah.
But they supposedly fixed those. I just went on, 6 months ago, I guess, the Lucid Gravity event, and that car was amazing.
Yeah, it's a minivan.
It's a minivan that hauls butt and has a 400-mile range.
Oh, look at and, me. There's me and my
And
branches.
It can go off-road, like light off-road. I mean, I was having some fun with it. But the thing about the Lucid, that company, they kind of did us dirty. They never really gave us a car early on. I mean, it took us years to have access, right? And that's a shame.
You know, the problem with, I think the issue with Lucid is that Mr. Rollins, who's the CEO, came out of Tesla, and he seems to have wanted to compete with Elon. And so instead of like building a mid-sized crossover, which he built a sedan when nobody was buying sedans. And then when he finally did build the crossover, he made it look like a minivan. I mean, I guess from an engineering point of view, if you're a pure engineer, these are two form factors that make a lot of sense. But from a sales point of view, I can't think of two worse kind of cars to try to sell in this market, a sedan or a minivan. Because minivans have this huge stigma where, you know, people just want them if they have to have them.
I disagree with you. I think it looks like basically a Lucid Air wagon, and I don't think it's ugly. But I do think that they should have done more to differentiate it between that and the Lucid Air. Regardless, the Lucid Air, I've driven a couple now. They're really fast. They're beautifully refined.
I fell in love with it.
It's a great car.
We had a grand touring, as you saw, and I fell in love with it. And I thought, I need to have one of these. And then I went online to look to see how much they are. They're $135 new. You could buy them. Dude, it was a one-year-old car with like 4,000 miles, $60,000. Half of its value slashed in a year.
So if you wait another year, what'll be, 30 grand?
Yeah, well, I'm thinking that's why this is number five on those, 31.6 days. All right, number four, the Lexus GX 550. That's an interesting one.
The GX 550 is an interesting one.
Because you can't get them new.
No, they're done.
No. You can't buy them new because there's limited supply. So the GX...
I thought that they were throttling them back to where you couldn't buy them right now, period.
No, you could buy them, but the reason... So obviously the 550 came out, what, like 2 years ago? And ever since then, they've been limited in supply. And I was thinking that maybe Lexus was doing the thing that like Ferrari or Porsche does, keeping... Because these things are... Even today, my friend James wants one of these.
Uh-huh.
And even today, to try to buy one of these, it would take you, if you wanted a specific spec, up to a year. if you could get one.
Yeah, I just had one that I drove in California, and it was the overlanding version of it or whatever. I forgot.
Overtrail.
The name. Overtrail. That's it. It was beautiful. It really a wonderful vehicle. Well, great to drive.
So there's two issues with this. First, it starts at 80, just under 80.
It was 80 grand. The one I had was like $81,000.
So 79 it starts at, and the Land Cruiser ends at 75.
So, oh, it's so much better than the Land Cruiser.
So why wouldn't you spend 5K more for a GX as opposed to a Land Cruiser?
Yeah, and it's more power. It's a much more powerful powertrain.
So I've heard through the grapevine that the reason that they're in short supply is because it's got the same engine that the Tundra has, and they're prioritizing replacing Tundra engines. So basically, the reason you can't build enough of them is
that's why I think they throttled back on them.
Yeah, because they can't. They don't have the engines because they're being, you know, because all the Tundra engines, they're replacing 200,000 of them.
Yeah,
which is the same powertrain that's in this thing.
Yeah, essentially.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So that I think that's why it also resells so fast on the used market, because the second one comes available, people just snap it up.
Yeah.
All right. Number four. Oh, we're number three already. Holy cow! This is an interesting one. The Honda Civic Hybrid Hatchback, 29.6 days average on the market.
Funny thing about that Honda Civic Hybrid,
yeah,
that is the same powertrain that's in the brand new Honda Prelude that you and I drove.
Yeah.
Exactly the same powertrain.
I also think horsepower. It's in the CR-V.
No, it's a different. That's slightly different.
I think it's the same one.
They changed a few things on it in order for it to work, because remember the CR-V has an all-wheel drive system, so there's a couple mechanical differences.
Right, but the engine and the
it's the engine I think might be the same.
Yeah. But anyway, it doesn't matter.
It's
a great car.
It's such a good little car because you get crazy power. The only thing is, I'm not a huge fan of the way the transmission is set up. It's a little whiny, but. That's typical for hybrids. The overall,
I don't think it's a transmission. I think it's I think it actually has a transmission.
No, a planetary gear set, I think, or something along those lines.
It's direct drive. That's what
it's
Honda
direct
calls
drive
it.
at a certain thing, and then it's the electric motors at a slower speed. But it still makes noise. It doesn't sound sporty. Is my point?
Yeah. Fair. I think the reason people love it is the same reason that a lot of these cars are on the list. It just gets in. Incredible, phenomenal fuel economy. I mean, we're talking like Prius numbers from back in the day. Like, this is like high 40s.
Yes, and in addition, you have really good power. That was the thing that sort of surprised me. It's 200 horsepower.
Yeah.
That's really good for a little car.
Yeah, and they got rid of the CVT, though. Thank God.
Yeah, it's not an old school CVT, which is real crap. But the bottom line here is that I'd say 90% of that car is excellent. And it's if you can find one that's an agreeable price, just get it. And also the reliability has been pretty decent as far as I remember.
Yeah. And so we kind of danced around it, but I think you nailed it. I think the way that drivetrain works is it's basically an electric motor, so it doesn't have a transmission. And then when it gets fast enough, it actually just goes direct drive. It just directly drives the wheels.
I believe that's at a certain speed.
So it bypasses
the
transmission,
whatnot,
yeah. And that also gives a great fuel economy. But you're right, the engine note is it kind of sounds like a CVT.
I think I'm spoiled because I love the Honda Civic Si. It's one of my favorite cars, period, full stop. And I love the way it sounds. I love the way it drives. And because of that, I judge other Hondas pretty harshly.
All right, number two on our list is the also an interesting one, Lexus RX 350h, 27.6 days.
That is no surprise to me.
Yeah, because the RX is the best-selling Lexus. It accounts to over 50% of Lexus sales, and the hybrid, of course, now with gas prices, would be the one that you'd want.
And they've had the hybrid version of the RX for years.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a long time, and it's a damn good vehicle. You owned one.
Yeah, my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's deferring, yeah, it was my wife. So,
yeah. It wasn't
but,
me.
Well, the point is that vehicle, I mean, it can take abuse. They're really rock solid. Do you have any issues with it while you had it?
No. She had it for like over 10 years. I think she put on like just under 100,000 miles.
Yeah, and no issues, right?
No issues.
That's the other thing. Yeah. And that makes our jobs really easy with a lot of people when they ask about, you know, hey, Sean, I want something luxurious that gets good mileage. Lexus RX.
Before we get to number one, let me tell you something I think is interesting and that Toyota did right. And that is, I think they introduced people a long time ago to the concept of electrification.
Oh, with their hybrids?
With their hybrids.
And it was a big gamble, but it paid off.
And then they went to like the Prime, which no longer calling Prime, but basically the plug-in hybrids.
Yeah.
And now that they've actually, it's sitting here at our office, that they've actually improved the BZ. Outside of the Tesla Model Y, the Toyota hybrids are, I mean, the Toyota electric vehicles are actually selling really well.
they've been so smart about almost everything. And if you rewind some of the podcasts we did back around COVID time and around the same time that various companies were pushing super hard on the electric mandate from other places, Toyota was staunch with their whole their production. We believe in hybrids. Yes, we're going to do a couple of these compliance vehicles, which is where the BZ4, blah, 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 initially came from, yeah. And that wasn't great. The first one was not. But that was Toyota just basically saying, we'll play your game, but here's the deal. We know that the hybrids are the way to go. And they have been right almost the entire time. You know, when they first introduced the Prius, they were losing money on every single Prius that they were selling in the United States.
Yeah, as is the way. But my point was, they've kind of weaned people onto the notion of electrification.
Yeah.
So people who would normally, there's a certain subset of people who just jumped on Tesla right away, early adopters.
And of course, yeah, because it was hip.
But most people weren't ready for that switch.
Mm-hmm.
But the way Toyota did it was they said, okay, if you're not ready for that, here's a mid-step, right? Here's the hybrid. And by the way, if you want to go a little bit more electric, here's a plug-in hybrid. Now you get like 40 miles of range.
Mm-hmm.
And now with the BZ, those people are ready to go full electric because they understand that electric cars aren't the devil because they've had some form of electricity powering their car in the last 20 years. And I think that's why the BZ is selling so well, because these people are ready to move on finally to full electric. They finally went in the deep end of the pool. They stuck their toe in with hybrids and they jumped in the pool with plug-ins, and now they're in the deep end.
There's another component too, another simple component that you missed. The word Toyota is printed on the car.
Yeah, it helps.
It really does. Brand helps. And in this case, I mean, they still have quite a reputation and people just will buy a Toyota.
All right, Nathan, in a million years, I would have never guessed that the fastest selling car,
Mitsubishi
used car, no.
Oh, damn.
Never would have guessed this. Tesla Model X. Where did that come from?
You know, the Model X
it's discontinued.
It's discontinued, and it's not the best vehicle they produced. I mean, it had some issues.
We had it.
Early on.
Yeah, my favorite thing about it, and I wish other car companies had this, and I love it so much.
Falcon doors.
No, I didn't like the Falcon doors. Those are problematic. What I loved, and no other Tesla, as far as I know, maybe the S does this, or I don't know, maybe the new ones do it. The early one we had didn't, is when you get in the car, you step on the brake, and it closes your door. Not soft close, it closes the door completely. I just love that feature. Just put a huge smile on my face.
Is that the only Tesla that does that?
I think so. I don't know. Maybe the S does it as well, or the newer ones, but the old one we had didn't do it. But I would go shopping, and then I would load up the back with all the groceries, and then I was like, ugh. And then I get in the car, and I'd step on the brake, and the door would close, and I'd be like, oh, that's so nice.
We tortured the crap out of the X that we had.
We took it off-road.
We took it off-road. We towed with it. And it was really funny because we were doing it at the time when some other people, like in other countries, were taking them off-road, saying, don't take them off-road. And then we were towing with it when other people were like, you really shouldn't tow with it. And
so why do you think it's the fastest-selling used car?
Because it's a three-row
good point.
SUV.
Yep.
And it's a Tesla. And even when you drain the battery a bit, it's still pretty decent range. There's a big battery in that thing. I would imagine people just, they're able to get
We tried to tow with it to Oregon and we gave up because...
Oh, God. We didn't make it out of the state, did we?
No, we made it to Wyoming.
We made it to Wyoming.
And the problem, we ran into that very early on where you would tow for 2 hours, charge for 1 hour. And so we had driven it for 2 hours and it needed a full hour to charge up again. And I thought to myself, to get to Oregon, we're going to add
6 weeks.
Exactly. So we had a Ram at that point, and I remember I called Zach and I'm like, Zach, Come get the Tesla. Bring us the Ram.
Just get the hell out of here. Yeah, that just did not go well. But things have improved all across the board with Tesla towing and all that other stuff. But regardless, the X, I think, for people who are entering into the whole racket, perhaps they're looking at massive depreciation.
Well, I think those were like the dual motor Plaid was like 90 to 100.
Yeah, I
wonder how much they cost. I bet you can pick one up for probably 30 to 40. I bet.
Now think about that. So even if it only has like half its range at 150 miles or whatever,
no, it won't. It'll have its full range.
I think it'll have a decent range at least.
No. You weren't here for this, but we bought an early Tesla 2012. Mm. It had over 100,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
Because Jen used to work at Tesla. She took it to Tesla. Usually when you take it to Tesla to check out the battery, they will tell you a thumbs up or a thumbs down. But she had inside information.
Ah, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
91% of its battery. 90 after 10 years, 91%.
And that's a Colorado car dealing with cold weather.
91%. So,
that's impressive.
So basically the rule of thumb is for all you EV folks, you lose about 1% a year.
Yeah, about. And that number changed because years ago they used to think it was 10% a year, some crazy number like that.
That was before they did the research.
But that was the Nissan Leaf and all that.
And that
too.
Was a Leaf, yeah, which yeah. Which didn't have climate control batteries.
No, it didn't. That is surprising. I guess it just has to do with the fact that people really do want to get a Tesla product. But
I think it has to do with the fact that gas is $7 a gallon.
That does hurt. In some places, it's $7.
I was thinking about that. I thought to myself, you know, when this happened last time and gas jumped up this high, my wife bought a Prius because of it.
Mm-hmm.
But with this recent war and the spike in fuel prices, people have not been actually, you know, buying electric cars. But what I think they have been doing is buying hybrids.
Hybrids.
Yeah. So I think, but I'm wondering, like, okay, let's say gas. When the war, before the war started, it was like $3 a gallon in Colorado. And now it's spiked to like $5 a gallon. So I'm thinking between like $3 and $5, you're going to be looking at hybrids. Above $5, you might start thinking about electric.
The higher it goes, it makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense.
Because it's cheaper to fill up your car at night at home. Off the grid than it will ever be, even with the hybrid, to fill it up at a gas station.
There's no doubt. And people who live in my area, now that I'm in Southern California, many, many people do drive electric vehicles, even though, frankly speaking, the grid is not very kind. The way they run it is terrible out there. But you still are financially, it's more logical for a commuter, mind you, in Los Angeles, hard, hard traffic, to drive something electric where you can just bring it home and fire it up there, or there's a decent infrastructure, that's not great, where you can plug it in and just basically top it off. And it's far less expensive than the gas out in Los Angeles or anywhere really in California.
So let's switch gears just for a second before we get to your experience in California.
Sure.
So there are three, I hate this word because they use it instead of lies, but they say falsehoods, but there are three lies that I keep hearing over and over and over again. And as a person, a journalist, who values facts over fiction, I just like to break these myths, these lies, and I'll give you the top three. We'll start with electric cars.
Okay.
I keep hearing this rationale for somehow taxing electric cars, and it's happening in a lot of states right now. And the rationale for it is you never buy gas, so you don't pay road tax, because that's what most of the tax is used. And because the cars are heavier, which they are, they damage the road a lot more, so that's not fair. So we need to somehow tax them to repair the roads that they're damaging. Nathan, how much does a semi truck weigh?
They can weigh 20,000-30,000 pounds.
80,000 pounds.
Up to 80,000.
80,000 pounds roads. And I listened to a podcast with a transportation expert. My old school Northwestern has a transportation department.
Right.
Which is unusual, but he was like, roads are designed for semis for 80,000.
Yeah.
So when you think about it, so a car that weighs, let's say 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 pounds more, does no more damage than a heavy duty truck.
Yeah.
So that's a complete BS.
It is utter BS.
BS.
Now look, there's a minor counter to that. So yes, your regular roads are built to handle a truck. And most electric vehicles weigh way less than a truck. The only example that would probably be comparable is like, I don't know, one of Tesla's Cybertrucks. They're big trucks, you know, they're semi-trucks.
They don't weigh that much. They actually don't weigh that much. The only example that would be heavy would be the Hummer EV. That's like, ours was 9,000.
And that's 9,000 pounds.
Yeah.
There was less than the
Cybertruck's like 7, yeah.
Yeah, but how, I mean, you look at what's on the highway right now. And, you know, I agree with you, and I don't buy that. It's crap. It's just they're trying to find a way to tax it, and that's not the way to do it. If you want to do that, I'll tell you what. They are known, they being electric vehicles, are known for chewing up tires at a much faster rate than your average internal combustion vehicle because of the weight. Yeah, exactly. And they also leave a heavy residue in many places because tires, you know, they turn into, you know, granules. So I'm trying to figure, you know.
PFAF, actually. They turn into forever chemicals.
So in order to clean that up, to fund a cleanup,
that
would be a tax, like a cleanup tax or something like that. I'm trying to help you politicians out there, even though I
don't help the politicians.
I despise them all. But the point is that you guys could go out there and go, whoa, these cars are actually messy, and there's actual research to back that up, as opposed to saying, well, a highway is destroyed much more quickly when you have an electric car across it. BS. Trucks go across it all the damn time, and they weigh way more. Come on.
Yeah, the other BS thing I hear all the time is this story that car manufacturers, and it's true, but this is an example that is not true. The car manufacturers are very greedy and that they want subscriptions. And the worst example of that is when they try to charge a subscription for something that the car already has, i.e. an example of that is the BMW that tried to drive extra revenue by charging for heated seats, which the car already had. Now, mm-hmm. that's a story that's out there. And the truth of the matter is, yes, BMW tried to do that, but in China. And nobody says that, but in China part. And I don't know what the market's like in China, but BMW never contemplated charging extra for electric seats in America or in Europe. It was a thing that they thought about in China because I don't know what the hell's
going
on.
Aren't there other subscriptions other automakers are starting to try to push?
Yeah, I'm not saying that the subscription model is, but this example.
Oh, that particular example
is BS because they never considered doing it here or in Europe or, you know, in the rest of the country, but they did consider it in China. And so people use that and they keep saying, BMW tried to charge for heated seats at your local dealership. I'm like, no, they didn't. So the story is false, but the fact that manufacturers are trying to continue with or trying to come up with creative and I think stupid ways of additional revenue, yes, that is true.
Yeah, and it's going to hurt their sales because people will just walk away. That I'm sure of. So what's your third one?
The third one is what the hell is my third one? It just jumped out of my brain right now. We just talked about it before. It's parts. Yeah. So the one I keep always hearing, and this is especially from like salesmen at dealerships or people who are trying to sell cars. When a car gets discontinued, people are worried that they won't be able to fix it. And the lie is there's a federal or state law or Mickey Mouse law that says car manufacturers have to keep 10 years of parts for any car that they discontinue. Absolute bullshit. There's none of that. I actually talked to a bunch of purchasing managers at car companies. The way that works is when a car company decides to build a car, they meet with the parts suppliers and they say, hey, this is how many parts we think we'll need to build this car for however long we're going to build it. And a supply that we can then resell once these parts break. But there is no law that says we have to keep 10 years of supply of parts. And what ends up happening is after a number of years when the car is discontinued, the parts come from either secondary suppliers or from crashed or, you know, junkyards where those parts exist. Mm. They do not exist in some magical warehouse that the manufacturer has to keep because of a federal law or state law of used parts.
Yeah.
Or new parts.
Now, when it comes, there is a small caveat to that, which is safety components that are mandated by the federal government. Those have to be in ready supply constantly. So whichever automaker found someone to build that component, that safety component, we're talking airbag control switches and whatnot. And those things, by the way, go throughout many different vehicles. We're just talking about specific vehicles that have a specific component that's based for that car. Yeah, I agree with you. As far as I know, there is no law that states that they have to manufacture those components for 10 years.
Yeah, and you keep hearing it. People keep repeating it, and it's just become one of these things, one of these urban legends.
I think it may have started by just old school OEMs where they would just build a lot of extra components for cars that used to fall apart. And,
probably.
And it maybe made 10 years worth.
In the 70s.
And then it kind of flipped that on its head. Maybe that was it. I don't know. And if you guys who are listening or who are watching this, if you know differently, let us know in the comments. And then, you know, please let us know what that law is. And, you know, it's easy enough to find the number.
Here's another historical one that I've actually repeated. So, you know, there's that. First of all, this is interesting. There's that saying that Henry Ford would build you a Model T in any color as long as it was black. Mm-hmm. And you'd ask what the reason for that was. And the clever person, or I thought I was a clever person, would say because black is the fastest drying. Well, it turns out that's not true. It's because black was the cheapest color.
I thought it was because his soul was dark, 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 and he just basically wanted to show how dark his soul was.
Apparently it was the cheapest one.
Okay, so that makes a little bit more sense.
And initially, the Model T came out in many colors. It was only later when they actually started selling a boat ton of them that they actually turned all black.
Well, that makes sense, you know, in terms of, you know.
But you could get a red one. They look like the Chitty Chitty Bang, those early ones from like 1907 or 1908. They look like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang cars. Mm-hmm. And eventually they look like the one that we have at the barn.
Okay.
All right. So tell me about California. What's the car culture like there? You've had a lot of cars. I've been jealous, Nathan. I follow you, and you're driving Aston Martins. You're driving Lamborghinis.
I am.
Stuff that we never get here.
Yeah. So a big benefit to that. And, you know, it's a bummer because you guys, the TFL audience, if you showed more interest in these cars, I'd get more of them. But the reality is, unless it's a Camry or a pickup truck, you're like, yeah, whatever.
That's kind of our thing. We're every person.
Cool. I'm not down on you guys. I'm just letting you know. But the bottom line is that...
You want to drive Lamborghinis and Aston Martins.
Please start driving Lamborghinis and Aston Martins and Ferraris, eventually maybe. No, it's a good thing being in Southern California. I am in a much larger pool for vehicles, which means I can get my hands on almost anything. It doesn't make a ton of sense for me to get these super hardcore off-roaders because there's only so many places I can go.
Hungry Valley, that's it?
There's a couple places down near San Diego, and I can go into the hills and whatnot, and there's places in San Dimas and whatnot. But there's a bit of a drive.
Yeah.
Whereas
yeah.
in here...
Well, everything's a bit of a drive.
You said it. So the car culture there is still very much alive and well. There are an awful lot of people there who are very unhappy with the way, you know.
Apparently you went to some cars and coffee or furries. Tell me about this furry experience you had, Nathan.
Okay, I'll be completely honest with you guys. I always thought that the whole furry culture was...
Let me explain the...
Allow me to, please.
Okay, explain it.
First of all, I just want to... This will preface this. I thought that it was a joke or it was like an urban myth. I really did. And like three people did it and then spread this thing. No, it's real. Furries are people who like to dress up in costume, think Disney, you know, like full costume with a headdress, which is thousands of dollars because they're unique and they actually have them specially made. And they are in these unique outfits.
I could just keep thinking how stinky they must be after a hot day in LA.
Yeah, well, and many of them do this apparently to meet up and get their freak on. That's not an urban myth anymore because I saw it. Well, so
why do they combine cars with this?
This is what happens. So I'm kind of scrolling through and I'm trying to find like kind of unique car shows to go to and just take a couple shots and do some social media.
What was the name of the car show?
It was automotive.
Can you look, see if you can find it?
Motorized Animal Weekend. Look at that. I swear to God, I think that's right.
And you decided that this is something you had to go to. What's your
you've known me for a long time. You know I make bad decisions.
Oh, there it is. Look at that.
That's it. Holy cow. Well, God, I'm already getting flashbacks.
Okay, if you were a furry, Nathan, what furry would you be?
What would I be? Yeah. What animal?
Yeah. Probably, what's your inner
furry? I'm rather large. It would be like a polar bear or something like
there
that.
There you go.
Whereas Andre would be, you know, gazelle, because the Russian gazelle, and you'd be
Andre would be a bear.
Russian, and then you'd be like a giraffe or something like that.
I wouldn't be a giraffe.
Moose. You'd be a moose because it used to be when you were doing the triathlon thing.
Are there any pictures you can find on this?
I actually did a social media thing. If you wanted to look at that,
that's, go to Nathan's social media.
Yeah, it's Facebook. Nathan Adlin, journalist. The thing is about the furries. Okay, look. First of all, I'm not there to cast aspersions on people because it's weird and it's something that I am not familiar with. But it was that's a different one. Just keep on going down. You'll see it. Anyway, as he's looking, people can do whatever they want to do to have fun, and they seem to be keeping to themselves. Right, that's fine. My problem is I brought my wife and my teenage son to it. That was a bad idea. Okay, that's all right. That's all right. Anyway, it's also on Instagram. So they brought some really unusual cars, which was cool. There's like an old LaForza there.
That's pretty crazy.
That is a pretty crazy car. And the fact that it's running, it was in really rough shape. I know it was rough.
They're too busy spending money on their costumes.
Their costumes are expensive, thousands of dollars. And they had booths there. They had like a mini rave going on. And it was a little weird walking around, especially because, you know, when I don't dress up, so to speak, I look like, I don't know, a cop or something like that because I look stern and I'm walking around and... You know, they're kind of looking at me like, what's this dude doing here? Not wearing a furry outfit. And why did you bring that picture up? We need to talk to our producer. Okay, of course.
Hope that's not going out live, Cole.
Good. I'll put it up there. So anyway, they brought in several different vehicles, probably about two dozen by the time I left. Some of them were, you know, hopped up, very interesting looking. Like a Dodge Challenger that had kind of a unique hood on it and some stuff like that. You doing okay, buddy? You're young. You should be social media. Should be no problem. Okay, that's fine.
All right, don't worry about it. Yeah, we'll just tell the story.
Yeah, that's fine.
Are there any questions?
Anybody want to know about furries?
Yeah.
Look, if you're a furry and you do your thing, that's fine. I'm only saying that I'm a stranger in a strange land. One thing I'll give you guys credit.
Another Cybertruck.
I know, yeah. Right? That's what I say too. But it was an interesting event, and we got out.
Did
of
your wife
quick.
Was there?
Yeah, she went there with and my son, and they stuck together like glue and stayed in the corner.
All right, let's get off the furries.
Thank you. I honestly didn't know it was real. Now I know it's real. So congratulations, guys. You're real.
Let's get off the furries. Tell me about the best car that you've had in the
last year. Drove the Aston Martin DB12S, yeah. And it was – and I can't talk about it. It's still under embargo. But that was on the high-end list. It was probably the Revuelto, the Lamborghini. Oh, my God. That car was –
The Revuelto.
Revuelto.
Revuelto. Okay.
Revuelto.
Revuelto.
Okay. I want to say it in a really Italian, like, accented, romantic way. Revuelto.
Have you had the Temerario?
Not yet. No. I was behind the wheel of one, yeah. But I haven't driven it. But I had the Lamborghini for a few days, drove it around L.A., and it was – see – I hate those really loud colors.
Yeah.
This one was this beautiful emerald green, and it had the silver wheels. It was astonishing. It was beautiful. And I hang out with some guys who have some really high-end cars, including Moto Man.
Yeah.
And even he couldn't give me crap for it. He was just like, yeah, it was really, really gorgeous. And one thing I found out about it, interesting thing. So I was driving it down to San Diego because, yeah. You know, I had to put some miles on it, and I was having a great time. Had my wife in the passenger seat, and I forgot.
Did she like it?
No.
No. No. I didn't think she would like it.
Especially because right in front of her.
It's very tight and loud.
No, it's not that tight.
I was
fine in it. It's the most comfortable Lamborghini V12 I've ever been in.
Okay. Which is saying something.
Okay. But in addition, and it drove pretty good. But the thing is that she had access to this readout in front of her that showed how fast I was going.
Oh, yeah.
That I tried to lie to her and say it was in kilometers. It didn't work. She was mad. Anyway, so it's very fast and very awesome. Very ostentatious. It was just awesome. So that is one of my favorite cars, like awesome cars that I've had.
I have to say, I got to drive that on the track in Italy, and I was terrified. You know, it's got over 1,000 horsepower, and we were doing a lead follow, and we had an Italian driver who, of course, is not going to be pussyfooting it around.
No.
And you know, you've got this million-dollar car. It's like they're like, and they were all sold out. They were like 900,000.
Yeah, you're in the launch edition or whatever. They're 200. The one I had was $287,000.
No, not the Revuelto.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Google the. Can't be 270, not the Revuelto.
$287,000.
It wasn't the Revuelto.
It was.
Yeah, I don't think so, dude.
Yeah,
I
but
think,
our man's going to look it up right
look
now.
It up. Look it up.
Was it? Oh, was it $817,000?
Yep, there you go. That's better.
Did I turn the numbers around?
I think you turned them around.
$870,000. It was still not $1 million.
Yeah. They started like 800.
Okay, $817,000. I stand corrected, but it's still not $1 million. Yeah. So anyway, but
I'm
it was
not trying to like who's right.
Yeah.
It was still
remarkable.
It's burned into my brain.
Yeah.
Because I'm on a track in this you know close to $1 million car. Let's go there.
There you go.
And I was terrified that I was going to be the one who puts it into a wall.
Ah. Yeah.
And because it's got the way that it works, it's got that V12, mm-hmm. and then it's got two electric motors.
Yep.
In the front,
yep.
And then it's actually a plug-in hybrid.
Yes.
So you can actually...
Oh, I did plug it in.
Yeah, you can actually... And the plug is under the front trunk, which is weird.
That, it kind of sucks that you have to do that, but
you couldn't leave it plugged in because your trunk would be open.
But it means that it's a compliance vehicle in Europe. You can legally drive it on roads that you can't drive a regular V12 on.
But the great thing about those two electric motors in the front is that you can do torque vectoring.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a real, like, there are two cars that I was terrified to drive on track. And I'm not a great track driver. I'll be the first to admit that. It's not my thing. I like off-roading better.
Mm-hmm.
But the two cars that terrified me and that turned out to be really good was the Ford GT500.
Yeah.
And this car. So the Italian driver was like, you know, how fast do you want me to go? And I was like, slow. And he's like, yeah, I'll go slow. And of course, he didn't.
Yeah.
And then every lap, we did three out and then two slow. And they kept getting faster and faster, and I just was able to keep up with them. And I was like, wow, this is great because I am not this good of a driver. Because
mm-hmm.
with the torque vectoring, basically the car anticipates what you want to do, and it takes you quickly to the limit. And I think that's probably not a great thing for like people who are really good drivers, you
right.
know, who want to like I'm beating my chest and show
right,
up.
Right, right, right. No, I agree
because
with you.
The car does it all for you.
So I had an opportunity to do the similar thing. I was on Angeles Crest Highway, and it was my buddy Cody's birthday.
Dude, that terrifies me. Angeles Crest terrifies
yeah,
me.
So we were doing – we had about seven cars, and it was his birthday. He has a Gallardo. He was in the shop. It's a funny irony considering it was his birthday. So he's out there. We had Corvettes. We had Porsches. We had the Lamborghini. And
that's not a recipe for somebody going
No, but what I did was because I was worried about the car getting any rock chips or whatever, I let them go way out in front so they'd clear the road. Yeah. Because, you know, there's sometimes rocks that fall into the road to make sure that it was clear by the time I came through. And I had a great time. And the car, the harder I pushed it, the better it got. And then I started freaking myself out thinking, I'm not that good. And I'm worried that at some point in time, I'm going to exceed my capability and kill a very, very expensive car.
Or yourself.
Yeah, too. Yeah, but there's a point, and that is the car is so good. And at the same time, I thought it was pretty lively. I liked the sound it made. Not everybody loves the car. I absolutely adored that vehicle. And the interior, it was the beautiful upgraded one with the tan. Very, very nice all around. I really enjoyed it. And the steering wheel had a million different controls. And by the time I was done with it, I learned about a quarter of them.
So I just want to make myself clear because I sound like a wuss because I'm like, I'm not terrified of the road. I can drive the road, but people die on that road, Nathan.
Yeah, they do. In fact, someone died right before we went on Angeles Crest.
Father and a son died.
That was right. That was the Ferrari in the tunnel. Yeah, that happened days before we went there.
Exactly. And that's a high price to pay to go exercise your car.
No, that's a high price to pay to be an idiot. I'm sorry, but that guy was screaming through the tunnel at over 100 miles per hour in a place that's like for 30.
And then there's people like on the other side of the tunnel knowing that this happens with cameras. So not only do you pay the ultimate price, but
you can take others with you.
But then you take his son went with him, and then of course you get your face plastered all around social media.
Yeah, but that's the same that's for crazy. Some idiot on the highway who decides to go 150 miles per hour and pass you or do wheelies in the middle of the street. All of those guys are idiots. The bottom line. But if you are a good driver and you're conscientious about who's around you and what you're doing, then I think that you can exercise your car to a certain degree.
So I was just watching a bunch of street racing. So this week, my wife calls me up. Get this, and she's got a BMW iX, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she says she's driving home late at night after work, and she's going down 36 right at the start. And where Federal is, you know, that's not a bad neighborhood, but it's not a great neighborhood.
Yeah, I know the area.
So, but people like drag race. So it's dark now, and she calls me up, and she says, "What does it mean when the car says you're losing tire pressure? Quickly pull over." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, "What's the number?" And she says, "Well, it's 20." I'm like, "Okay, that's okay." And then she says, "It's 18," and it's like 16. I'm like, "You got to pull over."
Yeah,
yeah. So she pulls over in this kind of right off of on Federal. It's like a
it's an industrial area.
It's an industrial area, yeah. You know. And she pulled over in this like tire shop actually. And she's like, "Maybe we could just have it done tomorrow."
Sure.
And I'm like, "I don't think we should leave the car there because it's dark and there's an empty parking lot."
Right.
So I'm like, "You know what? I'll come and get you." So I call Tommy. I'm like, "Hey, take the Quartermaster, which we have here, because the Silverado is being used, our heavy-duty truck is being used for a camper, and it was Andre had it. That's a fun video. That's also coming up on LTFL. Anyway, so I'm like, "Tommy, come get it. We'll load up the car and we'll drag it home."
Right, right.
So he's farther away. So I drive there, and I get there, and sure enough, the back rear tire is completely empty. And I look, and there's a nail or maybe a screw that's gone right through the middle of the tire.
Okay.
And I'm like, "You know, that's something you could usually do with Fix-A-Flat. And there's a gas station like two blocks down." So I go down, buy a can of Fix-A-Flat, put it on there. And these are big tires, right? These are big, fat, like 235s.
Right.
First of all, the Fix-A-Flat doesn't even lift it, you know. It's like nothing. It's like,
yeah,
I would have had to have like a 10-pack of that.
Yeah,
crap.
Seriously, like several cans. Yeah.
Yeah, several cans. And I hear it coming through the little screw hole.
The whole point is that the goo that's inside is supposed to, once it touches the air and all that, eventually
it's supposed to like
solidifies.
And usually with a nail or a screw, there's enough contact there between the screw and the
rubber. Where it'll actually seal it up.
Yeah,
no,
this thing's not doing anything. Yeah. So I'm like, ugh. And as I'm doing this guy comes out of the shop, and it was him and his son who were working on their car, and he's like, "Hey," because this is the guy who owns the tire shop.
Right.
His son was Jorge George, and his son was Luis.
Okay.
Sweetest people in the world. And he's like, "Hey, can I help you?" And I'm like, "You can?" And he's like, "You know what? I could patch that for you." And so he brings up the little jack and lifts the car up, takes the wheel off, puts the little patch in, puts it back on, and within like 10 minutes, the car was back on the road.
That's great.
Isn't that so nice? I mean, you know, you think you're in this bad area, and this great guy comes out, and you know they're working on their car, and it just was this wonderful like experience where you kind of forget, even if you're in what you think is a sketchy area, just how great people can be. And I think we've lost that. We've for some reason in the world that we're living in now, people don't trust each other anymore.
I don't trust anybody even in nice
But you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, but this guy was just like, hey, can I help you? And I was like, hell yeah. And we had a good conversation, and he's a huge car guy. We started talking about side-by-sides, and his son came out. And he didn't speak great English, but his son spoke great English. It was just a wonderful experience. So I wanted to share that with you because you know, we're so afraid of people that aren't like us, that are from a different culture, and this was the exact opposite.
No, I mean, you're more likely to get carjacked in Beverly Hills by some angry housewife who's worth millions than, you know. that can happen. I've read about it on Reddit, I think.
All right, well, last question, then we'll end this because I think we've gone an hour. Is that right, Cole? We're an hour, right? Yeah. This is a tough one, but what's the car? I don't want to say the worst car, but what's a car that you've gotten where you're like, eh?
Can I tell you one that I liked and hated at the same time?
Yeah, that sounds good. Okay. Yeah.
The Volvo EX30.
Oh, I'm with you on that one. That's such a cool car that has serious issues.
The drivetrain, fantastic. Yeah. I mean, and I was driving the single motor, like the real base model, which is price-wise comparable to like a fully loaded Nissan Leaf or something like that. But no, I mean, it's still, it was supposed to be cheaper, but you know, we're not going to go into the whole reason why. But anyway, the point is that single motor was great. It drove fast. It handled great. I loved the look of it. I thought it looked
great
awesome.
Looking car. I drove that on a frozen lake in Sweden.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But the single motor is the one that I would think about, and I was thinking like, maybe my wife would like this.
I love that sound bar at the front.
Yeah, that's an ingenious use of space.
Yeah, for a small car, it's very, very roomy.
Then, the UX.
The UX is like a screwdriver in your ear.
Yeah, I would rather take a nail through the hand.
Yeah, it's so unintuitive.
It is dreadful, and that system
and
it's
of UX, there, they and everything's in that screen.
I mean, yeah, like that's is your speed and everything else. Everything. And yeah, they're trying to mirror Tesla. They shouldn't.
I love those like those little controls for the vents are so beautifully executed.
So much of this is really well done, but unfortunately, you have to do everything through that system. Everything. And it works with the steering wheel control sometimes, and there's other things, and it doesn't always quite work. And
you know what my big bugaboo now, and I'll end on this, and that is when these systems are designed, and large part, a lot of these European manufacturers do this for European laws, which are much more restrictive.
Yeah, they are.
Like INEOS does this, and they don't change the system for America. And that was one of the reasons.
Well, INEOS did finally change a couple things.
Finally, but like they have to have, in order to turn off ADAS in Europe, you have to have a three-step process.
Yes.
And you have to do it every single time you turn the car on and off. And that is, you know, that is like two lines of code you could do. Just say, don't do this for America because we don't have that law.
Right.
And yet, a lot of the time, these systems are still adhering to the European regulations, and they're so frustrating, especially when they don't have to.
I would say that you're absolutely right. And I think our taste in cars sort of dictates simplicity first and work your way over to more obnoxious things later on. In terms of the Volvo, even on the base model, it was frankly far too complex to be a usable daily driver for somebody like me. And it's a shame because I love 80% of that car.
Did they say
they're getting rid of it?
I think they stopped. They're not. Actually, I'm going to Barcelona on Saturday.
Barcelona!
To drive another Volvo. So
Viva la... No longer... It's not Mexico.
No, it's not. It's
España. Viva España.
Barcelona.
Barcelona.
They do that thing. Yeah, I don't get that.
Yeah, be careful there, by the way. A friend of mine was just there, and he got mugged. Like really badly mugged.
Really?
Yeah, in Barcelona.
The petty crime in Europe is pretty
it's bad. Up like through the roof. Yeah,
it's pretty bad. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
My friend, when I was there last time in Barcelona, my buddy had his passport and his wallet and all of his airline tickets stolen.
Basically, this is what happened to my friend as well, including the scooter.
And they have these gangs, and they like distract you.
Yeah.
And then the other people steal that stuff.
Oh, this was gunpoint. This wasn't even that.
This was
got surrounded.
Here I, yeah.
Gun.
Where was he at?
He was so there's the outskirts of Barcelona, Barcelona, where there's like this art district, and just outside of it's kind of like a little bit of a poor area, and he was an idiot, and he went in there, and he was on a scooter, and he had his backpack, and they took. Basically, he was down to his shoes and shorts.
Oof.
By the time they were done with
scooter?
Him. Yeah, they took everything. They took everything. I'm surprised they didn't. He wears glasses, and I think he begged them not to take his glasses because it's expensive. Anyway, All that being said, please be careful out there, ladies and gentlemen, and I hope to be back in the studio to do another one of these in the near future.
Yeah, it's been a great week having you here, Nathan. We've done a lot of videos.
We did a lot.
Yeah.
They worked me to the bone.
Yeah, we got to do now. We're going to go review the BZ and compare it to the Tesla Model Y.
That's going to be interesting.
That's next on the agenda. So stay tuned for that video at AllTFL. And guys, thank you very much for your support. If you're a Patreon member, you're getting this live. If you want to get it live, and if you want to get videos first, head on over to Patreon.com/TFLCar.
Yep.
Because we've been doing it a while. As always, this is Roman.
And Nathan.
Saying we'll see you next time. Ciao.
See ya.